Welcome back, everybody, to the Generation Varied podcast. This is the show where we discuss culture, health, geopolitics, sports, rap, beef, and everything in between. I am your host, Caleb Norris. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Ben Okenge and Jack Widener, with our wonderful producer in the background, Sophie St. Furman, and our guest producer for this week, Syra Mashiat. Today, we are having a very special segment. Something special. Very special planned for our listeners. There is no Hennessy on this episode, but there should be, because we're going to dedicate this episode to discussing the Kendrick Lamar versus Drake beef, as hopefully the ongoing, I'm going to call it a war, is over at this point. But gentlemen, how are we doing this week?
Man, I'm doing really good. And honestly, I'm just so overwhelmed by like the sheer amount that's gone on. And listeners, yes, we love making this a special episode where we get to focus on really just one topic. But also, I hope that you guys understand a part of why we're doing this is because like we're tired of talking about this.
We are tired.
Yeah. But honestly, we have to, especially after the week that we just had. It's like we would be skipping over a huge part of pop culture if we didn't give you this episode. And frankly, this is like the segment that most of you guys have been giving us the most feedback on. So we love talking about it.
Yeah, I totally agree more, Ben. I think one thing, you know, for Caleb and you and I, like, we have listened to great Drake and Kendrick all our lives. So to see this happening, like, sometimes it's hard to put in words. And I think it's very reasonable to dedicate a whole episode just to really digest what's been happening. And like you said, it's a little bit overwhelming. So it's been a great weekend. And I can't wait to hear both your reaction. But no, Caleb, and, you know, I'm doing okay. Just a lot of moving parts.
No pun intended.
I didn't realize that. So listeners, this is my last episode in Kentucky. I'll be having a new background. Next week. So we'll see. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, no. Well, we're excited for you, bro. I'm mainly excited for you to get like a subway. You're gonna have a subway now. You're going to be able to take public transit.
Just be in a real city, you mean?
A city.
Wow. Civilized.
A city. You're going to be able to go to dinner at 9 p.m.
Whoa.
I love my options.
I'm excited. So,
well, speaking of dinner here, gentlemen, back when you guys were dating, for our listeners, both Jack and Ben are both married men. But when you guys were dating, what was your go-to date route?
Becca and I went on a date to this fancy restaurant. We went to Malone's and Jay Alexander only to realize that is not our vibe. And I don't think we've been to any like high-end restaurants since. Well, our favorite thing is going to a Vietnamese restaurant, getting pho, and usually it's the same restaurant. So, and that one's like Taiwanese restaurant. So Asian food is most of the time involved in ice cream, definitely afterwards. So super simple, but we love doing something that's super chill. There's something around food and dessert and driving, listening to music. And just, that's what I would consider what most of our dates were like when we were dating.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'd say like for me, it comes down to like, what is the go-to that you can have that's never going to miss, that no one can be mad about, regardless of, you know, who's going when and all that. Like, Cheesecake Factory is just
not the
an easy
factory.
Choice. Listen, bro, you just can't miss with it. And here's the thing. Caleb.
I don't know what to
say. It has that kind of reputation because specifically it can't miss. You feel me?
Have you seen that meme that's like middle class white adults at the Cheesecake Factory? We needed this.
Bro,
that's
actually stupid accurate. But for real though, if you think about it, restaurants kind of like Cheesecake Factory are some of the most like diverse parts of our society, you know? Because like for, you know, the upper class people who are wealthy, it's just Cheesecake Factory, you know? Like, all right, we can't decide where we're gonna go. Let's go Cheesecake Factory. But for a lot of people, it's like, you know, the nicer place to go to.
Right.
So it's just this like melting pot of that everyone can agree on and that it's delicious.
No, so. Bro, I totally get that. I think my thing is this is like, my thing is this is like, I just can't, I don't know. I'll say this. I'm not too bougie for the Cheesecake Factory.
Caleb, I think you're lying. I think you're too bougie.
You're so right. You're so right. I am too bougie for it. I was trying to be relatable there, but I don't care about being relatable. I'm not going to Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, no. Don't lie about yourself, bro.
My go-to, this, bro, I had a route. That summer before COVID, when I was like
had a specific
freshly out and I was just like on a new date with a guy like every week, I had a route, bro. Here was my route, okay? I would go to, I don't care about the restaurant, you pick the restaurant, but if you pick Roosters or something like that, date one, you're not getting a second date. I'm just going to say that, okay?
Not Roosters. Roosters
date one is crazy, okay?
Yes. Wings?
Wings?
We just met?
So I'd go to Roosters after, no, I would not go to Roosters. I'd go to any other restaurant but Roosters. I'd go to Ginny's afterwards for something sweet. This one specifically in Dublin, because then there's this reservoir in Dublin.
Bro, and that's a good Ginny's.
Bro,
yes.
I used to park the Jeep, lay the back seats down, put pillows and blankets back there in the summertime, like release the hatch. To like watch the stars.
Caleb's romantic.
Bro, don't play with me.
It's crazy.
Don't play with me. Well, wow. Gentlemen, it's time we got down to business here.
Yeah. Listeners,
I mean,
over the last several weeks, you have heard us talk about beef from first reaction to like us to hear the new songs. Like before we all started, what did we say? A tone was set. And it has been matched, if not exceeded, at least my expectation in terms of music this year. But let me just take a step back for us. And, you know, whether you have been following this rap beef since, you know, 10 years ago, you back in the weeds, or you follow it recently, like last month or last week, or if this is your first time hearing it now, like, totally okay. What I'm gonna do here is kind of help you break it down in terms of, you know, why is Drake important in the picture? Who is Kendrick and why is he important? Along the way, how did they work together? And who did Drake rub shoulders with? Like where this brewing of this beef started and how it led to where we are at today. But Drake, you know, such an influential musician in all our lives. You know, I remember listening to, you know, headlines, you know, when I'm playing Call of Duty in the basement with my friend's house, and, you know, middle school, elementary, and in high school, listening to Hotline Bling at those dance parties, like, and then to college, to, you know, Tootsie Side, to Nice for What,
Passion Fruit,
like, Drake has been weaved into our, you know, life all, you know, since there, you know, I've been listening to Drake all my life. And it's just all to say he's the most successful hip hop artist in the 21st century. And he's known to be responsible for putting artists on the map, you know, putting that on. So a lot of the artists we listen to today, Drake has some type of influence of where they're at today. So that kind of speaks to Drake's greatness when it comes to the industry.
Yeah,
you know, but just recently, universally, as we know, he hasn't been liked by most people, and I'm just gonna get us a few points here.
Here's my thing. The recent distaste with Drake is crazy to me, because the list of people that he has put on, Mm-hmm. And I went deep into the rabbit hole in preparation for this, y'all. I really did. The list of people that you're about to name out, half of their number ones, if they have one, he's a feature on. So the recent Drake slander is crazy to me because it's like, I mean, he's half the industry.
People don't even realize that. That's what's crazy. But then just wait. Wait for him to put out one banger, you know, something with Bad Bunny, and everybody's going to be dancing to it, and everybody's going to forget all about how they hate him right now. Just wait.
That's true. If he has the right person to, yeah, Bad Bunny will be that person.
But anyway, Bad Bunny would be the sickest collab.
Yeah, like, is this the two biggest, like, summertime artists that I could think of?
Here's why Drake would never do that. Because Bad Bunny is an openly bisexual man, and it is obviously very rumored here that, I mean, throughout the world, that Drake is probably bisexual. But, I mean, I don't want to comment too much on anybody's sexuality because it's not our business, but I don't think that Drake would ever collab with Bad Bunny because
have a song, though. A song together. Yeah, on Drake's last album, Gently, and it's a banger. Like, it's so good.
Why?
I'm going to look this up.
You see, bro,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard it.
I've had to have heard it
because that was a lot of them. But listeners, Brian is back here. So just a few reasons why Drake has been on target recently is, you know, he's been known to not play fair. What I mean by that in terms of is just when he's collaborating or being featured or featuring somebody, he's not always paying or compensating those artists. He's also known to be cultural vulture. What I mean by that is just, you know, fabricating an image of his life of, you know, but it's not real. Like, people who, you know, like, what he puts out there versus who he really is, supposedly, is very different. So that's one thing. And even just being messy on social media, messaging, you know, or commenting on posts of actresses or artists who are under the age 18. Like, for example, Millie Brown, who, you know, he has mentioned. Millie Brown is the actress in The Stranger Things for Netflix, one of the most popular show that we have seen in the last 4 years, and you know, just commenting on her post, but nothing sexual, but like, it's still messy. So just things like that, like, yeah, like, this is weird. But going into in terms of just some of the scuffles he had previously, before all these things that's happening between Drake and Kendrick, I'm just gonna list out a few. You know, Weeknd, A$AP Rocky, Rick Ross, Meek Mill, Megan Thee Stallion, Metro, Future, Game, Childish Gambino. I mean, the list is
coming. He said off. Just name off a few. He just listed off.
Like, and that is just a fraction.
But the thing is listen to this.
This man just listed off every heavy hitter on charting right now.
That's my point. Like, you know all those people. Whether you are a huge hip-hop artist or not, you know who these individuals are. They have been, and they're somewhere in your Spotify playlist, or heck, even on your Spotify rap. So Drake has been rubbing shoulders with some of these individuals. So it's pretty big.
Yeah.
But, you know, now switching to the other side. So that's kind of Drake, the most influential, most popular hip hop artist we have seen since, you know, in the 2010, you know, era. Let's talk about Kendrick Lamar. So Kendrick Lamar, and I'm a huge fan, and I'll say that right now up front. So there's a little bias.
We know that, Jack. We know that.
Yeah, my favorite album is one of all time is Pimp the Butterfly. But Kendrick is commonly known as a philosophical rapper. And what I mean by that is when it comes to his lyrics, the subject he touches on is not most of the time mainstream, but something more with a deeper meaning or deeper question that might be around like his black experience when it comes to family, love, religion, social economic background, to even, you know, he's from Compton in California, whereas Drake is from Toronto, Canada. So like, very two different experiences growing up. But Kendrick is just known to be very philosophical, and he is a lyrical genius. I might say myself. But so where did Drake and Kendrick start running into each other? So both rappers, you know, in 2010, they achieved a lot of greatness together in terms of their own songs and platform splits. Drake kind of took Kendrick on his first tour.
You said kind of took Kendrick on his first tour.
He took him.
Go ahead. He took Kendrick on his first tour, as well as A$AP Rocky. I want everybody who's listening to this. That's it's the first Sebastian piece of information. Like, let's start at the beginning as to who put Kendrick on. Continue.
So Caleb, they work together.
You're showing your skin tone, bro. People are gonna know exactly what you look like, even if they're not watching the video.
What's so funny is that I was on FaceTime with a friend literally 30 minutes before this, and they were like, "Are you wearing that on the podcast?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they were like, "What a light skinned ass outfit to wear on this podcast."
And especially with the takes that I know you're going to be having the rest of this episode.
Wow, I'm sorry, Jack. That's great. No. So, as Caleb shared, Drake took Kendrick on his first tour, along with A$AP Rocky. So they've been working together in the past. In 2011, Drake's album, Take Care, Kendrick was featured on some songs. And Lamar had featured Drake on his second album, Good Kid, Mad City. Drake was featured there. So there's like a history between those two. It wasn't like they never worked with each other. They hate each other.
Right.
Nobody is born to hate somebody. You know, it usually is when you've done something together, or build a lot of memories, there's some type of betrayal or just something that happened that kind of starts it off. So that's kind of where it's bringing us to here today. So since like those two albums, Drake has been known for mainstream music, being on the top charts, releasing many songs and albums, working with phenomenal artists, whereas Kendrick on the other side, he's not producing many albums, but those albums make a lot of noise because they, you know, they won tons of Grammys, they won Pulitzer Prize, you know, Kendrick won the album he won that prize. So, you know, history has shown that, you know, these are very two different type of artists, but at the same time, they're kind of compared to each other. So now let's talk about where we start seeing people take, like, who took shots. So Kendrick, the first sign of trouble, started around 2013 when Kendrick appeared on Big Sean's Control and kind of called Drake out and a few other rappers. And, you know, it's kind of like a bait. Drake did not take it. He didn't engage. Just like, you know, whatever. And leading it to 2015, you know, there's a lot of conflict with Pusha T, Meek Mill. And that's kind of where we're seeing people going at Drake. And that's a very memorable beef for those who are aware of it. Pusha T and Meek Mill beef with Drake was historical, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But I honestly don't remember that much about that beef, I'll be honest. I don't think I was a huge hip-hop fan at that point.
So Meek, the thing about the Meek Mill beef, so Meek Mill was 2015. The Meek Mill beef, I think he lost in all of them, but it's like long-term, he's won all of them. So like he lost to Meek Mill, definitely lost to Pusha T. The thing though is, how much more do you hear from Pusha T?
Well, okay. Listen, Pusha T is one of my favorite rappers, so we got to ease up on that.
He said not too much.
Not too much now. I understand where you're getting at, okay? No, but Pusha T, he just doesn't put out music that frequently. He's also just an older dude, so he's not really one that's going to, like, I think, appeal to a lot of younger people these days. But, no, I think you're right. Regardless of, you know, who ended up winning these different situations, I think the one thing that that Drake was able to show through all that is that he's not one that you want to mess with. Like, he, with the pen in his hand, like, he will do damage. And that's one thing that can certainly be said about him after all those things.
I think two things I did come out of that leave with Meek Mill and Pusha T. One, obviously, Pusha T revealed that Drake had a son, a secret son. That was just a huge, like, whoa.
Bro, I remember where I was sitting.
Yeah, same
when that broke the internet. Same. I remember being on, that was my first big day on Black Twitter, I think.
And the second thing I want to say,
I was so sure. Yeah. No, go ahead.
The second thing I want to say, you know, Ben, you kind of talk about Drake has kind of shown himself as he's not some level back now. Yeah. He'll be 10 toes deep fighting back. And that's one of the reasons I love about Drake. He doesn't shy away. Nobody. Which is, we'll talk about it here in a second. But it wasn't until the first person shooter came out last year, Drake reopened the conflict with Lamar, where he, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, J. Cole, who's on the album, he kind of said, like, hey, we are the big three, J. Cole, Drake, and Kendrick. So that is somewhat of a diss in terms of just like Kendrick Lamar is the same level as Drake. So that's kind of where, I guess, the wound was reopened, or kind of like, hey, like, what do you want to do with this?
Now, for our listeners, I want us to go back to 2013 when Kendrick hopped on this Control album and was dissing other rappers. Yeah.
I was back in 2013. Eighth grade. I remember that. That's hilarious.
He said too on there that he has love for everybody that he's dissing, and essentially if you made the cut, then he's, you know, he's got love for you, right? Drake took it personally in a BET acceptance award in I believe it was 2014, the very year afterwards. He mentions that Drake took it personally. Okay, now I want us to fast forward to this time right now, to this song that was released, where J. Cole says that they're the big three, and they are the big three.
Real talk.
And Kendrick took it personally.
That's what really the craziest thing about all this is that, like, that was supposed to be a compliment. Like,
that's why
it is meant to be a compliment, and instead he took it personal as, like, a diss. Which is weird to me. Like, it's kind of insecure for real.
That's the thing that kills me. You're not you're not winning the IDGAF war here. Okay. You're winning real. The I'm a weirdo who sits in the corner and calculates what everybody's thinking and saying constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my biggest thing with it, is it's like, who, that wasn't a diss. That wasn't a sneak diss. But come on now.
Yeah, but so, yeah, that's kind of where it leads us to. Like, that was just the last thing before this whole Kendrick and Drake thing that's happened. But before we do that, listeners, I want Ben and Caleb and I to kind of just talk about some of the essential songs that we have heard over the years. So, you know, Caleb, Ben, if you want to grab your phone real quick, pull up your Spotify, and just kind of, like, name off some of the, you know, because sometimes we need to help listen to understand it or remind
hold
ourselves.
On. They're just hold too on, many hold though.
Hold on. That I gotta start this mother record over. Still on this mother record. When I hear Passion Fruit, bro, get out of my way. When I hear
that impression was shockingly good. I'm not gonna lie,
dude.
That was like, you've practiced that one.
Hold on. Hold on. I got to start this motherfucking record over.
Yeah, honestly,
fire.
I mean,
fire. For those that know, that's Passion Fruit.
That puts me like, yeah, that puts me like halfway through my experience with Drake. Like, I've loved Drake for a long time. It helps, like, being Canadian. It was cool in Canada to, like, support Drake before he was, like, huge. And, I mean, he was still big, you know, like, he's, you know, coming out with, like, YMCMB and all of them, but there was just something special at that time. So there were a lot of hits. Like, I think back to So Far Gone. I think back to Thank Me Later.
And Take Care. Oof. Yeah. Bro, honestly, Take Care. Marvin's Room changed the game.
Honestly, I didn't even love Take Care. This is a hot take, but Take Care might be my least favorite of all of Drake's albums. And which is insane because it's still a great album.
Bro, let's talk about Kendrick here. Let's talk about Kendrick. Who, what, yes. What? Now, I just want everybody to take note of this. But we started talking about hits.
Yeah.
Who did we bring up first?
Yeah, that's true. It automatically did go to Drake.
I agree.
But I think in the same, or you can, under the same breath, you can still say, let me rephrase this. I think they're in college and they're in high school. When Drake is coming out with God's Plan, with Certified Lover Boy, you know, all these amazing tracks that we still listen to it today, you know, this playing the bars. Kendrick is still kind of known for like, oh, like that, but he's better. You know, like he's put out a view, but those aren't necessarily meant to be listened as like a hit. It's more like you put. Yeah,
it's like a classic almost type of vibe. I get what you mean.
Humble DNA. Yep.
I mean, King Kunta.
Yeah,
Poetic Justice. That To Pimp a Butterfly album and Damn both are like two of my favorite hip hop albums as well.
The only one that I really followed was Damn TBH, because that was the only thing that played, it felt like, that summer.
That is so true. Yeah.
And that loyalty. Dude, I love that because
Money Trees.
Yeah. That was a hit too. He had a lot. And so, don't forget, he did the Black Panther soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, yeah.
That was a great album too.
About Kendrick is like, his projects make a lot of impact, and I think there's like a something I can share her, like, for when it comes to Grammys, like Kendrick has 4 albums, 17 Grammys, Drake has 12 albums, 5 Grammys, in terms of just like what he's produced, the type of music, the lyrics, the genres he's able to touch. And not saying that Drake doesn't have any of that. I would say when Kendrick dropped, it just made like, whoa, like this is new. We never heard anything like that. And I think that's special that he's from Compton, California, which is
true.
You know, we met so many amazing artists over the years. That's from that, you know, from Compton. Right.
I think my biggest issue with Kendrick Lamar is this. All right. I'm going to throw this out here and then we can get into like the Rolodex of all of the music here. Mm-hmm. My biggest issue with why I don't want to say I don't like Kendrick. I love Kendrick. I love his music. I don't like the Kendrick worship, because what it feels like to me is, and like, for example, he has 17 Grammys and Drake only has 5. The Grammys is a notoriously racist, like, group. Notoriously.
Okay.
Notoriously.
Making a strong point over here.
For example, I could give you examples of times when times where Billboard and Rolling Stones have come out and said, what are you judging things off of? Because it's not like music industry's opinion on these albums. It's not based off of stats and it's not based off this. How are y'all picking this? Right? So all of that to say this, what Kendrick feels like to me is, so there are people who in the conversation of overall, of like the overall rap, that basically go and say, oh, look at Kendrick. He's one of the good ones. He's one of the people that's not rapping about drugs and sex and women. He's rapping about things that matter. He's talking about the Black experience. Meanwhile, most of Kendrick's music is depressing, to say the least. Okay. And that's what I don't like about the Kendrick worship, is that it feels to me like he's one of the good ones. He's one of the ones that made it out of the hood.
It's true.
See, look what a good Black man who doesn't drink or do drugs. Like, that's what it reminds me of. And I don't like that sentiment, because it's like Black people should be able to show up in any space, present their whole authentic selves, and still be respected. And if that is somebody who is more philosophical, great, fine, love that, wonderful. And if that's somebody that wants to show up and party, Great. Fantastic. Love that. That's my biggest thing with it, is that I think Kendrick gets undue worship from an audience that wants to point at him and say, look at one of the good blacks. That's what I don't like.
Right. Yeah. I think Kendrick also just hit at a time where people were like looking for something a bit more. I don't know how to put it other than say like intellectual. Like it makes you a little bit higher than the mainstream, a little bit more educated than the rest if you're a Kendrick fan, rather than being a fan of someone like Drake or some of these other more, I guess, poppy type of artists, right?
Yeah.
But when we talk about kind of what set off this current chapter now, we talked about first-person shooter. We talked about the fact that Kendrick was apparently offended by that. And so Kendrick hops on like that
just a couple months ago
in March. And that was really the bomb that started this whole snowball effect. On that song, we talked about it pretty extensively. Go back and listen to those episodes. Essentially, Kendrick is just making it very clear that if there is a big three, which he does not believe in, that he's at the top. It's just him. And that really opened up the floodgates. J. Cole briefly drops a diss track.
Embarrassingly.
he steps out into the game with 7-Minute Drill, which was a great song, but he quickly apologized and eventually actually took it down.
I love one thing
that we can say now, yeah, he made out like a bandit.
That's the memes that have come out of just, we, okay, now we understand J. Cole. Like, now we know why you step aside, because this is,
no,
that's how I feel about, like, it feels like, hey, this is a lot bigger than you think, or like a lot goes back farther than you think, so you can be involved or step aside. And it feels like he's just like, you know what, the spirit is not good within me, so let me apologize.
So you know, and here's what I believe, here's what I'm holding on to, Jack. J. Cole got a kid somewhere.
J. Cole doesn't want to eat.
Either that or them dreads ain't real. And he don't want to come out and say he's been wearing a lace front over a bald head for 10 years. And or he's got a kid. That's what they've got on that man.
Honestly.
He's like, guys, please, I take it back.
He was like, somebody, his personal assistant was like, now, did you forget we send that kid a birthday gift every year on March the 3rd? You better get out that beef before.
I heard like a rumor, and I'm not sure if this is true, that J. Cole was advised by Schoolboy Q to, like, hey, like, probably should step aside for this one. I don't know. That's a rumor.
I think J. Cole, I mean, I'm not going to comment on somebody. If you're doing that for your mental health, as somebody who doesn't want to be a toxic man that's like, oh, that makes you a punk, I'm not going to say he's a punk for that. It's not as entertaining for me that you did that. I also think somebody was like, bro, like this that's wasn't about you. Mm-hmm. That was about Drake. Like, you need to sit this one out. Like, don't insert yourself where you're not necessary. That's the vibes that I got from it. But yeah, I mean, I just want to go through really quickly, like the timeline here. So we've gotten like that in.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really set all of this off. Honestly, it's still number one right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that song hits, I'm not going to lie. I'm a Drake fan, but that song hits, I'm not going to lie.
I know a song hits when the video comes out of like LeBron rapping to it courtside and getting the lyrics wrong. And I saw that video this morning.
When you see LeBron over there mouthing the words and getting every single word wrong, when you see him in a gym with one of these, you know that song's a banger.
That's too funny.
Sorry, back to the timeline. So like that, then 7-Minute Drill, And then Drake drops. Go ahead, Caleb.
Drake drops push-ups. So he finally fires back. He said, you're not in the big three. SZA got you wiped down. Travis got you wiped down. Savage got you wiped down. Like, he's basically saying, like, bruh, you need to calm down. He does say this line from this, I think, is so goes so hard. I could never be nobody number one fan. Your first number one, I had to put it in your hand, cousin.
Great. That was a great response. Like, don't I forget think at your that place. Point, when Pusha come out, you're like, oh, wow, like,
and Kendrick, here's the thing.
Know, like, he's still for himself.
Future's only other number one is about Drake.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind.
This is true.
Moving on, Rick Ross jumps into the beef for a little bit with Champagne Moments.
Yeah.
Mock calls him white. We know that's wrong. Says that he has ghostwriters. The funny thing about Rick Ross and all of this is that it's like, Rick, who are you talking to? He's sitting around saying, like, well, Drake responded wrong to those pedophile allegations. I'm sorry, fam. I'm going to need you to sit this one out. You have four songs talking about date rape drugs.
Yeah. Rick Ross is not in a good position.
Fam,
the receipts are out there.
I'm going to need you to sit this one out, fam. I'm going to need you to sit this one out. So after that, TaylorMade, Drake, or Ben, tell us about TaylorMade.
Yeah, no, TaylorMade was the next song that Drake put out. That was the one that people thought may have been completely made up, that it wasn't Drake, that it was all AI. Turns out it was Drake. He used the AI-generated voices of Tupac, Snoop Dogg, and that was pretty cool. Eventually, he ended up taking it down. He got a cease and desist for that, and I don't know. That song was, it was good, but it wasn't the most impactful in terms of everything that was going on. At that point in time, though, it really felt like, this is over. Kendrick Lamar is done. He better never put out another song. Like, this is raps. And then on April 30th, I got the text from our man Jack. And I saw this little Instagram link that said Euphoria. I'm like, what? Next level.
When I first heard Euphoria, I was like, when I heard it start off so calm, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, same.
Like,
I was like, this is not good.
Mm-hmm. When I heard when I didn't hear a hard beat, like right out the gate, I was like, oh, he about to cook.
Yeah.
He's about to cook, because if you're not coming out swinging with a hard beat, your lyrics have to go super hard, right?
So then that song was absolutely insane. At that point, it really felt like the pendulum completely swung to the other side. Instantly felt like, okay, Kendrick's on top now. What's going to happen? Like, this must be over now. False. 6:16 in L.A., which is kind of a play on how making fun of how Drake uses times and places in his song titles. Think 5 a.m. in Toronto, 4 p.m. in Calabasas, those types of songs. That song, interestingly, produced by Jack Antonoff, who is one of Taylor Swift's producers. So that's kind of like an Easter egg.
It's kind of like a jab, because he just calls out Kendrick, basically saying, like, how are you going so hard when you literally had you did a feature, like, your only other number one is a feature with Taylor Swift.
Right. Yeah. And that was the whole thing with the TaylorMade freestyle. Drake put that out like, listen, man, I put out this diss track. You haven't responded to me. It sounds like you're just waiting for Taylor Swift to drop her album so that, you know, you don't ruin her spotlight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then after that, Drake drops again. Caleb, tell us about that.
We've got Family Matters that drops, where basically... in Family Matters, he suggests that Lamar's children are, in fact, fathered by his manager, Dave Free. Remember, this is right after in 6:16, or in another, what's the other one? In Euphoria.
Hey.
Yeah, and Euphoria, that is the song where he basically refers to Drake as a pedophile, says that he's had all of this like kind of body work done. So Drake then comes out with Family Matters, where he talks about like, why are you always trying to be the black messiah? Like, why do you always have to be, you know, like why do you have to be like that? Kendrick comes out with Meet the Grams. Kendrick then comes out with Not Like Us, where he basically responds to all of Drake's stuff. He calls him a certified lover boy. What about a certified pedophile? And then Drake's, the last thing that we have right now is The Heart Part 6 that Drake just dropped recently, where he responds again.
Okay.
Now, y'all, we are going to enter a new portion of the podcast where we are inviting a couple more special guests here to be on with us. We currently have one of my good friends, he's actually a roommate of mine, Ron Evans, who is joining us here as our resident Kendrick fan. Now, it's very obvious from this podcast that Jack and Ben are Team Kendrick. Ron is joining the fray. I've got a buddy who's joining named Daryl, who is...
I did not say I was Team Kendrick. You can't be putting my name in that mix.
Oh, you're neutral. You're the neutral.
I'm a fan of the music. Said every Drake fan ever.
So the way we're going to do this... Hey, Daryl, how are you?
Good, how you doing? Daryl.
Go next.
Doing good, man. we're getting introductions out of the way here. Daryl, tell everybody, where are you from, man? Where do you live?
Columbus, Ohio, originally from Massachusetts. Been here about 10 years now.
And you're an Army veteran, correct?
Air Force, but yeah.
Air Force starter, excuse me. I know that's an important thing. My bad, man. And can you tell, I just briefly shared that we met at Texas Roadhouse waiting tables together.
Oh, yeah, when I was back in college,
Yeah, man, way back in the day. It's been a while, but it's good to see you, man. It's good to have you on the podcast. You are most welcome. So what we're going to do here, I want us to take a couple of minutes, and we're going to start off with why Kendrick won this battle. So Ron, Jack, you guys will have 3 minutes as your opening statements. Daryl, you and I are going to be defending Drake here for 3 minutes. We'll do 60 seconds of a scheduled rebuttal, so we're not going to interrupt you guys. And then from there, we're just going to go back and forth. So,
all right, I'm cool with that.
Ron,
there's no interruptions, though. That is rule
number. Hold on, how this gets. Tell us a little bit about yourself real quick. Yeah, because I haven't met you.
Yeah, not me exclusively introducing Daryl.
So, I'm Caleb's roommate. My name is Ron. I'm a graphic designer. I'm from Miami, Florida, so you know, kind of like city wise everything, so that's kind of a basic rundown of me right now and everything. Yeah, and I'm also a amateur fighter, but that's for here nor there.
He is an amateur fighter. I'm teaching him everything I know.
Okay.
I don't know why there's laughter.
Wait, so let me just get it straight. You say Ron gets 3 minutes to kind of make his arguments?
You and Ron, yes.
Okay. Together, all right.
Exactly. I mean, you guys don't have to do it together, but runs out of things to say, then you can jump in. You see this? So right. Pen, paper. Oh, I'm ready to cook, y'all. Ron.
I'm going to let you start this because you're the guest. Right. Why don't you show Caleb and there why Kendrick is, you know, sitting at the top right now.
Time starts now.
All right. So let me just start off with this. So you guys remember Kendrick dropped Control Verse. You guys say Drake didn't respond. Drake did. The song was really butt cheeks. It was trash. It's on YouTube. You can
find
it.
What's the song?
There's a song with Juicy J. It's really trash on YouTube. Yeah, that's why Kendrick did a freestyle in the BET Awards saying, tuck in the sensitive rapper in his pajama clothes. He was talking about Drake. But yeah, that's here nor there. But then also on top of that, as a Drake fan, Caleb, Drake was the first one that started in this. Drake was on offense. Drake said in first person shooter, I'm thinking in the Super Bowl. Who played in the Super Bowl? Who had a part in the Super Bowl? Kendrick.
You're reaching!
I'm sorry. Dude,
hold up. Then during the song, because I'm not reaching, because during the song, he even said, I like going on dates. When they say, who's the GOAT? Who's the GOAT? Me and Cole did not put Kendrick in that.
Yeah.
So that's why Kendrick responded saying, what, they three? So yeah, that's how it happened. But let's go on why Kendrick won. Have you ever met someone during a rap beat said, don't bring the demon out? Then the next reply that he said, I'm going on vacation. Then his last reply was, what you said? No matter what you said, I'm not responding. That means he is soft. That means he is scared. Is that not true? You never heard someone say, hey, I'm not going to respond no more to the beef? The main one has said, hey, I'll start the beef. Come on, man. Then on top of that, who's the hit? You guys say Drake is the hit maker. Drake is the hit maker. He makes any song a hit, right? What did Kendrick do? He put Not Like Us, made that a hit. It had everyone jumping in the club, crip walking. Come on, man. Then on top of that, they
that is true.
Tell you, everybody.
I've been hearing it everywhere. Yeah. I've been saw a TikTok that was like
that song.
Sorry,
you guys are lucky. Lucky is not the HBCU, man. You would have had those deltas. You would have had those omegas. What?
That is that song.
You didn't have the AKAs.
What? So Kendrick already won off of hits.
That actually is true. I saw a TikTok earlier that was this little girl, and she was begging her dad. She was like, can you play the song that says OV Hoes?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how you lose that? Listen. Then on top of that, Kendrick made it seem like Drake was the first one. You all remember when he dropped the disc, he was like, oh yeah, Kendrick not going to do anything. Like, respond. He was antagonizing antagonizing the boogie man. What what they call that man in what's called what John Wick, what they call him?
The boogeyman.
No, his other nickname?
I don't remember.
Is that Russian name? That's what he woke up. Cause Kendrick was like, what? He think I don't respond fast enough. Dropped two tracks on his diss track. Cooked them. Drake made a diss track on Heart 6 talking about, it's not true. It's not.
All right, your 3 minutes is up. Daryl. Oh,
okay, last thing. Can I say one last thing?
Yeah, you get one last more thing.
And don't say why everyone jumping Drake is because they hating on him. Drake been dissing everybody lately. Not lately, all the way through. When Dan was number one, he did a sneak diss shade talking about, oh, me and Kendrick is in top of the charts. And Kendrick dropped that All Stars, the one with, Black Panther. He was like, don't congratulate me. Then Drake, what did Drake do? He went to Compton, made a song with The Game, talking about, oh, I'm in your hood.
Your Come time on, is man. Up. Your time
I'm
is
just
up,
saying, man.
All right, Daryl.
That was amazing.
Daryl.
All right, I will say this. Kendrick could have battled a cardboard cutout of Drake, and the bar still would have been the same. Because everything he said in the first song, he said in the second song, he said in the third song, he said in the fourth song, he said in the fifth song.
That is true.
Yet he never addressed a single thing that Drake put out there. So he's doing this attack with volume because he's going to try to drown it out with more bars and more songs. Yet he is yet to address a single thing Drake had brought up. You know, he mentioned the drop for top dog, drop and give me 50, talk about his royalty splits, make a song for the Swifties.
I love how he said that and Jack Antonoff was on the very next song.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, he went and reached out to that, but guess what? They're all in Universal Music Group. So the label itself is profiting off this beef now that he's on Universal. So all you're seeing is, okay, we're gonna let this fly because Drake is gonna get streams, Kendrick's gonna get streams, our bottom dollar is going up. So Kendrick had all these songs preloaded. That's why Drake's sitting here talking about, I'm not gonna follow up anymore, because I already know what your strategy is. and that's just to give bars, say it's at me, never address a single thing that comes your direction. Secondly, the only time somebody would ever call someone a pedophile or say some creepy shit like that is to assassinate their character. If you don't have substance, you go for character. That's always, yeah. I mean, that's one-on-one. You see that with celebrities. You see that with politicians. You know, oh, their policies are great. Good things are going on. But guess what? Oh, they're creepy. Creepy Joe Biden. Oh, rapist Donald Trump. If you don't like somebody, you're going to say the most outlandish things and hope that some people, oh, you know what? That does make sense. I don't like them because of this, because of rumors. I mean, these same girls that he mentors or that he's friends with, you know, he sees them as up and coming and, hey, you know what? The industry's crazy. I'm friends with them. They're cool. Whatever. He can't be friends with them. Really? Maybe you're going to call him a pedophile off that. So that to me, when you start throwing shots like that, you've run out of ammo. You don't keep shooting if you hit the target. You know what I mean? So you don't keep dropping songs if the first one hit.
My thing is this, half of the bars that he said just were inaccurate. Like,
right.
He doesn't have another daughter.
The whole situation.
So that's what I was gonna get to. You know, because with your rebuttals, I want you guys to address that mole situation.
Look at the photo that Kendrick had put out for Euphoria with all of Drake's stuff, you know, the Maybach music,
the gloves.
Everything was pointed at a specific artist that Drake was dissing with. So you had the Maybach music gloves and, you know, the Ozempic, the weight loss drugs with Drake's name on it. However, guess what? Rick Ross was on that. So, you know, he's shouting out Rick Ross. Then he has the t-shirt that says Shorty on it. Then he has some things for ASAP Rocky. He has the receipt from the jewelry store that Kendrick had bought his fiance the ring from. So he had a receipt from that jewelry store on there. Then he had ASAP Rocky things on there. So then Kendrick uses that as proof of his mole, uploads it when it first drops, but when it goes to DSPs, it's just a black photo because he realized he got duped. So the fact you're not addressing, the fact you got fed things to prove that you're just going to say any and everything, and then the way you assassinate someone's character on borderline slander lets me know you didn't win anything. I will give him this. Kendrick won in the way that he finally has another song that goes number one, and it's all because of Drake. His streams are up 49% since the beef started, all because of Drake. And he might have a fourth, and then I guess his U.S. Spotify stream number just beat Drake's U.S. Spotify, but let's not count out the global where Drake sells number one with girls.
Because he's big in Japan.
I'm out in Tokyo because I'm big in Japan.
Kendrick appeals to the blogs, the Twitterverse, and the internet, and California.
You know,
nobody's playing Kendrick in the bars. I stay in the bars and clubs. No one's listening, and they're still playing Drake. DJ Mustard, the night he dropped that disc with DJ Mustard on it, played at least 3 or 4 or 5 Drake songs at that club. There was another DJ from out of town there recording it, calling him a hypocrite. And here he is playing Drake songs on the night that he has a disc come out with Kendrick.
All right, 60-second response from the Kendrick side. Time starts now.
Oh, can I go first?
Yeah, go first.
So the pedophile allegations from Drake. Oh no, man. He has a song called What? Teenage What?
Do you know what the song says? He says this love feels like teenage fever. You ever been in love when you were a teenager?
But I want to say that though. Why would I say that?
He says that.
That's funny.
This feels like teenage fever.
On top of that, Jaded, that song was about Georgia Smith. Georgia Smith was not 18 at that time when he dropped that song.
I haven't heard about any of that. Let's fact check that. More Kendrick tactics.
Because Drake said, "How are you gonna pick that guy when he's not hotter than me and Jaded? He was Dirty Mac.
Oh, Jaded.
Wow.
I didn't know.
Then on top of that, now we all men here. Now if you see your daughter, this is talking about Billy Millie. So if you see your daughter, the grown man talking about the boys with her, would you not find that man in what?
No.
Then on top of that, only why the DPS thing happened is because you can't post drugs on there. That's the only why.
Yeah, okay.
These are valid points.
Wrap it up for the Kendrick fans.
This is a generational rap beef. And both Drake and Kendrick, you know, who won? The people won. But I think based off like just when you go out and talk to anybody today, everybody's going to say Kendrick won. Everybody. And I believe that because the way he
strategized the
way he released it, like not like us, came out within hours when Drake dropped his diss. Like he was like, they're saying, your songs aren't a hit. You know, your songs are for like sitting back and listen to it. And then he dropped Not Like Us, but they are like what you said, like to show like there is, you know, he has range. He can hit you from all angles, whether it's that through a letter form, whether it's that through a hit, or just through story, you know, something. All right, Jack. Yeah.
The
Kendrick rebuttal is at like 3 minutes now. All right.
And the main reason why Kendrick definitely won is because Drake diss was about him short and he has like size 7 shoes. Kendrick diss said, "Hey man, let me sit down with your mother and tell you you're a predator."
He did take it to a different level.
Call him by his mother's first name.
All right, Daryl.
Let's hear from the Drake side. Yeah.
First of all, Georgia was 20 when that song was made. And he was 30. Secondly, that's a grown woman in anyone's world. Secondly, if all you got from Drake's diss is that he's short, you didn't listen to his diss. Why hasn't he seen his kids in 6 months? Why is one of his kids his manager's kids? Why is he making songs for Swifties and all these people? Where's his split numbers? Why is it that Drake is the only reason he gets hits? You know, show some respect to somebody that put you on. He doesn't address a single thing that Drake says. So you didn't listen to Drake's songs. If all you got was that he's a size 7 shoe.
My biggest thing is this, okay? This is the reason why I lean to the Drake side, is that my number one value that I appreciate in relationships in general is always going to be loyalty, right? I'm never going to bite the hand that fed me, or, I mean, there are people, even in like the tech industry, people that have introduced me into the tech industry and put me on that I do not mess with no more. And I'm not going to speak badly about them. I'm not like people that have messed me up, but I'm still not going to do anything because you know what? You put me on and I'm going to be loyal to that. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to honor that. That's my biggest thing about all of this, is that Drake is, everybody knows Drake is a little bit messy, but Drake put all of these people on. That's number one. Number two, going back to my original point, I don't like the idea of, well, Kendrick is the deep philosophical rapper and Drake just makes pop rap. All of y'all didn't have a problem with it when you were bouncing to it in a club. And I don't like the idea that the only art that Black people can entertain is super philosophical poetry, okay? I don't want to constantly be educated. I don't want to constantly be going to church. I don't want to constantly be thinking about Black American hardship. I don't. You know what I want to do? Sometimes I just want to shake my ass on a patio to a margarita. In fact, it's like the five people here are Black Americans. We walk around and live with the heaviness of what it's like to walk around in the day-to-day culture with the different racism that we experience. I don't want to be reminded of that every single time I listen to a song, right? Most people go to music for escapism. And I don't like the disrespect that Drake has endured, the slander, the baseless slander that he's endured. And then all of a sudden we don't F with Bob's? All of a sudden, we don't want to dance? Yeah. What?
Hey, yeah, Kittle, man, you get to shake your ass this summer to a drink this, though.
You won't.
We'll say that you look at what makes a good song, right? And it's not just lyrics and content. You know, it's a whole It's got to have beats too. Production. You know, the lyrics could be hit or miss. I mean, there are some artists out there that go big and their reps aren't saying anything. And then lastly, replay value. So yeah, maybe too soon to see who comes out on top. I will say Family Matters as a song, as a whole song, could have been about anybody, could have been about anything, and it would still have been a hit no matter what. I think Kendrick's songs, if they weren't about Drake and they were standalone, say they were about MGK, they wouldn't have been hits. But because he talks about Drake, that's the only reason they were heralded as being some great. And I don't know what the replay value on those songs are going to be.
Right. So a lot of good stuff was said. Listeners, go back through, listen to each of these songs individually now that you're able to follow along with the storyline a little bit. We've talked about this for a while, but I still feel like we really only scratched the surface. So go listen to it. Share this episode and our past episodes with your friends so that you guys can all get into it and have these same type of conversations that we're having. But before we wrap this up, I want to ask each of you guys, kind of like, what was your one highlight of this whole rap beef situation so far? Your one number one moment that you're not going to forget 20 years from now of what just went down in the past month. Jack, let's hear from you
first. I would say for me was, I think it was a Saturday, or it might have been Thursday night. I was, you know, Drake drop, and then, no, Kendrick drop, Drake drop, and then immediately after, like, when Meet the Grammys came out, like, the speed of these tracks within so short amount of time, to me, like, that was very special to see it live, like, just going through Twitter, like, whoa, like, Drake drop. Oh,
another one.
Another one. And the next morning, like, not like this, like, to me, like, that was just special, just as fans, just, like, we're just witnessing, like, two great artists going to the studio, you know, rapping,
yeah,
you know, jamming to the beat, and creating this great, I don't know, like, new songs for us to listen in the clubs, and, yeah, I think that's my favorite moment out of all of this.
Cool. Caleb, what was yours?
I think mine was, like, I'm out in Tokyo because I'm big in Japan.
I love that.
Like, your first number one, I had to put it. I love push-ups. I also loved 7-Minute Drill. That, like, now I'm front of the line with a comfortable lead. I say that in my head, thinking about, like, my peers in the industry that I'm in. Like, how all of you, I've got a comfortable lead. For everybody else in this industry, like, stay back. So I love those two songs the most out of all of this. I think the rest of the music, I think Family Matters, push-ups, and 7-Minute Drill, for me as a listener who wants to vibe, their vibes were way better than anything that Kendrick put out in this entire thing. That's for me. I think who won short-term, I think Kendrick has the appearance of winning short-term. I think who's going to win the long-term and, like, what history will reflect on, it's sort of going to be like Nas versus Jay-Z, where it's like, okay, Nas might have won lyrically, but Jay-Z won overall because he's bigger in the industry and he maintained that. I think that's going to happen with Drake.
Ron, what was your one highlight?
Gotta hit Caleb with the freaky, he's the sun god. Man, what?
All of that is going to be bleeped out. All
of Caleb singing with me. OVO.
I hate you.
That song is going to probably be one of the songs of the summer for sure.
Man, that's back to back. Beep, beep, beep. And J. Cole, Drake know how it feels to be Meek Mills now, man.
Hey, true. Daryl, what about you? Your one highlight of this whole situation?
I'd say probably seeing how many people want to see Drake fall from the top spot.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're tired of seeing him up there, but that comes with greatness, just like LeBron. People want him to be, you know, they want him to fail. They want him to lose so they can point fingers and see, I told you he was, you know, 13 years running the game. I guess, like, eventually he's going to have to come down eventually.
Right.
But I will say, when Drake lost to Pusha T, his next album set the record for the most streamed album rap album of all time, Scorpion. So, I mean, it's not going to affect Drake in any which way. He's going to have his numbers. He's going to have his hits. Maybe Kendrick will drop an album within the next 5 years. So, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. But he's put out four songs here in the last couple of weeks, so it might be a little longer.
Yeah, he's gonna take it. He needs a hiatus.
He needs a little break after this. I'll say my top highlight of this whole situation is really just being like, seeing all the different faces and names that have like jumped into the mix. And like, especially Rick Ross. I've just loved Rick Ross's involvement in all of this. And just like his Instagram stories of him laughing at BBL Drizzy. And like,
BBL Drizzy.
And like this whole like BBL Drizzy challenge that started up with Metro, which we didn't even have time to talk about, but like some of that is more of the highlight for me. I think nah, you're good, bro. In terms of like who won overall, sounds like we got Jack and Ron on Team Kendrick, we got Caleb and Daryl on Team Drake. Honestly, I'm kind of torn. I would say that. For me,
then pick a side. Come on, man.
All right, I'll be straight up. I'm going with Team Drake, but
yes,
if Kendrick was right about Drake actually having a daughter, then that to me is what shifts the balance. If Kendrick was right about that, then that to me would have been automatic game over, but. Since that's not looking like it's true, then I'm going to have to be Team Drake. But at the end of the day, listeners, it really is up to you who won. Please let us know. Keep us posted.
The people won.
Yeah. At the end, won. That's fact. We won as listeners we won. Of this.
As fans.
Yeah.
Strong, sensitive black men won everywhere. oh gosh, y'all.
Anyway, everyone, we're super thankful to have Ron and Daryl join us today. Thank you guys for being part of this conversation. Yeah, we've really appreciated it.
Do y'all have any shout outs for people y'all want to give?
Shout out to my girlfriend's sound producer, whatever to this.
Yeah. Shout out Sayara Mashiat, y'all. Y'all go follow her. Daryl, who you shouting out?
My Knicks, baby, Brunson. Let's get it.
Let's go, Jalen Brunson.
I love that.
Well, as always, you guys, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode brightened your day, and we really appreciate this community that we get to build each and every episode. If you enjoyed this, please rate us 5 stars on all listening platforms and share this episode with your friends, especially those who haven't kept up with this whole rap beef. Follow us on social media at Generation Varied. And then if there's anything else that you'd like to hear us talk about in the future, shoot us a DM or you can email us at generationvaried@gmail.com. We could not do this without you. Thank you for being a part of this journey, and we'll be back again next week.
Thank you, guys.